Hey, welcome back to our My Money series. We're in a series talking about money, church and money. I know it shouldn't be together, but it is. So so glad you joined us. Today, I want to give you all a lesson in how to tick someone off, okay? You all want a lesson in how to just make someone real angry. So if you want to tick someone off, here's what you should do. Tell someone how to spend their money and how not to spend their money, and you'll tick them right off, because there's something really, really personal about our money. And there's something really, really personal about our money. There's when it comes to money and us, there's a great deal of pride and shame that's tied to money for most of us, depending on how we're doing. If we're doing really good, it's often a point of pride. If we're doing really bad, our money can be a real point of shame. And so there's just, if you want to tick someone off, just tell them how and how not to spend their money. But if you really want to tick someone off, I mean really want to tick someone off, become a pastor. That's not the end, okay? It's coming. Become a pastor and then tell your congregation to give money. And you'll tick everybody off, because we all have this idea. It just kind of supports what we all kind of think inside our heads already, right? That all the church cares about, all the church cares about is money, money, money. They just want my money. They want more of my money. And the pastor, we do the logic, the pastor gets paid from what goes into the offering. And so if the pastor's telling me to give more of my money, really he just wants, or she just wants, my money. And so it just kind of confirms what we already believe about the church and what we already believe about pastors, right? They are just all about money. They just want our money. So if you really want to tick someone off, just become a pastor and tell your church to give. So today, as we continue in our My Money series, you can probably already guess what I'm going to be preaching on. That's right. We're going to talk about your money. We're going to talk about your giving. But before you get too upset, I decided to do something so that you couldn't say, here's my pastor just asking for my money. I've decided to hand in my resignation. I quit. I'm not an employee of the church today, okay? So I quit, and so I am no longer the pastor. I'm just coming to you as your friend, as your brother in Christ, as someone who wants God's best for you, okay? That's what I'm coming to. Okay, I'm just joking about that. Just kidding. Well, not about the I'm your friend, I want the best, God's best for you. Just kidding about the I resign part, okay? So anyways, I just kind of set that all up for you so that you can prepare to be ticked off as you leave today, because we're going to talk about your money and your giving. You know, there was once three pastors that got together, and they did what pastors often do when they get together. They talked about, ministry, and talked about, attendance, and talked about offering, and just different pastoral things. And as they were talking about the offering, the pastors were saying, so how do you divvy up, the offering when the offering comes in? Now, how much goes to you and how much goes to God? And the first pastor said, well, here's how I divvy up the offering. I take the offering after church, I go outside, and I draw a circle on the sidewalk. And then I throw the offering up in the air, and I say, God, whatever lands inside the circle is yours, and whatever lands outside the circle is mine. That's an interesting way of doing it. And the second pastor said, well, I'm kind of similar, except for I do it a little differently. I throw it up in the air, and I say, okay, God, whatever lands outside the circle is yours, and whatever lands inside the circle is mine. Oh, that's kind of interesting. And then the third pastor, he was kind of quiet. And so he was kind of thinking, and he said, well, I kind of actually do it a little bit differently. I don't draw any circle. I just take the offering outside, and I throw it up in the air, and I say, God, whatever stays up there is yours, and whatever comes down is mine. All three pastors agreed that was the best option. Now, just to clarify, none of the pastors at Mount Olive ever touch the offering or handle the money that gets given to Mount Olive Church. It's all done by volunteers, and we have no say, and we have nothing that we can do about it. Just wanted to clear that up. Okay, so now into the message. When it comes to money and management of money and spheres that our money all goes to, there's really three categories, or there's three spheres of where our money gets spent or where our money gets placed. And this is true, these three spheres, this is true for Christian people. This is true for those of you that aren't Christians or you're not a believer, for secular people that are outside the faith. In fact, I heard someone speaking who's outside the faith, and he was talking about kind of the areas where our money goes, and he mentioned exactly these three spheres. And so here's the three spheres where our money goes. Some of our money goes to live, right, to living. Some of the money might go to saving. And then some of it goes to giving. These are the three areas of where our money goes. And you know, if you're all into like having every letter or every word start with the same letter, you can, write down, spend, save, and share, right? But we're just going to go with live, save, give. Live, save, give. And in fact, these are the three spheres of where our money goes. If you're a parent, I encourage you, get not one piggy bank for your kids. Get three piggy banks for your kids. And write on each piggy bank, this is your live piggy bank, this is your save piggy bank, and this is your give piggy bank. And whenever they get money, they can just put some of it in all three piggy banks. And then on the live one, they can just do whatever they want with that. That's just go have fun, buy candy, right? That's what kids do. So let them do that. So these are the three areas. But here's the deal. Order matters. Order matters. Which one comes first? Live, save, give, save, live, give, save, live. Which? How does this work? So order matters. And here's the deal. Even if you have an idea, a value system in your head that says, I think this one should come first, and this one should come second, and this one should come third, the reality is most of us in the room and most of us in North America all have the same order. And for most of us, it's the natural order that we all revert to if we're not intentional. And the natural order is this. Live. Whenever we get money, we start putting all of our money into living. The money we got, it first goes to live. I need to survive, right? And so when I get money, it goes to my living. And if I have a little bit left over, if by chance, after living for the month, I have a little bit left over, I might consider putting some in a savings account for the next month or the next year, right? And then if by miraculous chance, after I've lived for the month and put some away into savings, if by miraculous chance there's anything left over, perhaps I would be willing to give some of that away. Order matters. But here's the deal. Biblically, the Bible challenges us on our order. And biblically, the order that the Bible has, the Bible talks about these three spheres as well. But biblically, the Bible actually reverses the order. According to the Bible, the order is this. It's give first, and after you've given, put some into savings. And then after you've given and put some into savings, then live on the rest. Live on the rest. Give first, then save, and after you've been done giving and saving, then live on the rest. You know, it's interesting. The Bible talks a lot about giving. So what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks is we're going to tackle each one of these one week at a time. So we're going to start in the order that the Bible starts with, and we're going to start this week with giving. Next week, we're going to talk about saving, and then the next week after that, we're going to talk about living. So today's all about giving. And you know, the Bible actually talks a lot about giving. Probably talks about giving more than most of us are comfortable with. But the idea of giving, or at least the idea of a tithe, if you're a Christian, you've heard the word tithe. The idea of giving, the idea of a tithe actually shows up really early on in our Bibles. In Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, in chapter 14, we see the concept of the tithe. And it happens with Abram the patriarch. You might have heard of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. So Abram the patriarch, the circumstance that of when he first tithed was that he was going to battle, and God gave him this great success in his battle. And as a response to God's help in the battle, Abram said, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give 10% of what I just got from the success of this battle. I'm going to give it back to you. And so the high priest of God at that time, his name was Melchizedek. We don't really know anything about him other than he has a really sweet name. So Melchizedek was the high priest of God. And so he gave 10% of what he got from winning the battle. He gave it to God in that sense. And that's the first time the idea of tithe as 10% shows up in our Bibles. And then a generation or two later, Abram's grandson, Jacob, does the exact same things, although his circumstance is a little different. Jacob, he commits to giving 10% a tithe to God as a response to a promise God gave him about, hey, you're going to be a father of many nations, or a father of the nation, my chosen people, and you're going to come to the promised land, all these things. And Jacob says, hey, God, thanks for the promise you made me as a response, not to get something from you, but as a response to your generosity, God, we're going to give you 10%. And then hundreds of years later, Moses would come along, the prophet of God, and he would bring the law of God. And in the law of God in Leviticus, he would command the people of God, the Jewish people, he would command them to give a tithe, 10% of everything they got in. But it was the start of the tithe. And I mean, it's a start of the tithe in this sense, that it was just part of what they were commanded to give. See, there was all sorts. There was the 10% tithe in the Old Testament, and then there was giving that went way beyond the 10% tithe. There was offerings taken for a Jubilee celebration. There was offerings taken for poor, widows, orphans. There was free will offerings, just kind of random times. It's like, you're just going to be generous and give. In fact, some people have gone into the work of studying all the places in the Old Testament law that were that giving was required for the nation of Israel. And they've come up with the idea that in the Old Testament, that giving was as much as 20 to 25% of one's income. 20 to 25%. I mean, that's a high, high percentage. Imagine giving away 20 to 25% of all the income that you get. I mean, that's super high. And at this point, all of us are having some thoughts, right? If you're a non-Christian and you're not a Jesus follower, you're thinking, I don't know if I want to follow Jesus. And I get it. I don't know if I'd want to follow, I mean, 20 to 25%. Come on. I don't know if I want to follow Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're having a little bit of a different thought right now. Your thought is this. You're thinking, and you're smart. So you're thinking, you know, Elvin, I think there's something you need to point out here. What you need to point out is Old Testament, right? This is part of the Old Covenant. This was for the Jewish people. I'm not Jewish. This isn't for me. I live in the New Covenant. I live in the New Testament time. This is for the Old Testament people. This is for when, you know, people, you know, there was the temple and the tabernacle and the priests and the Levites. This is for the Old Covenant. I live in the New Testament era, in the New Covenant era. And you know what? You're right. You do live in the New Testament, New Covenant era. So because you're right, I'm just going to close in prayer. And then you can go home and you can just do with your money as you wish, because it's your money, okay? So let's just close in prayer. Actually, before I do, though, I do want to mention just one New Testament era thing, okay? Just one thing before I close in prayer. If we want to look at what the New Testament says, here's what Jesus, just one thing Jesus said. This is New Testament era. This is for, well, for us. This is what Jesus said. He said, give to everyone who asks you. Jesus. Wait, Jesus, give to who? To everyone. Everyone who asks you. Right. Okay, what was that Old Testament law 10% thing, right? I think I'll take that one, right? I mean, all of us want the 10% one, right? I mean, give to everyone, like everyone, everyone, or just like mostly everyone? No, no. Jesus said, give to everyone who asks you. In fact, about a year ago, I was talking with this with some of our staff, and Pastor Bill piped up at this point. He said, you know, if Jesus actually meant what he said here, give to everyone who asks you. He said, I have to get off Facebook. I can't afford it. I mean, everybody's asking for money everywhere, right? Like, I can't afford this. I mean, this is the, it's like, how do we live this out? Well, it's interesting. Giving in the New Testament era, giving for the Christian, although it is not as black and white as explicitly stated as the Old Testament law with percentages and da-da-da, the New Testament heart for giving comes from the same heart as the Old Testament heart of giving. That it's not to get something from God. It's rather a response to the generosity of God, as it was for Abram, as it was for Jacob. And the heart of New Testament giving, although it's not as explicit and not as numbers-based, I think the heart of the New Testament giving actually goes further than what was given in the law. So today we're going to look at the heart, the attitude, and the approach of giving for the New Testament kind of Christian, for the Christian who lives in the 21st century. So this is, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a passage. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And to give you the context of this passage, kind of an interesting passage on giving, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, probably a church mostly made up of Gentiles. And what he's asking the Gentile church to do is take up an offering for their Jewish brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Because what's happening in Jerusalem is there's been a famine and there's great poverty in Jerusalem. And so he's going to Corinth. He goes to some other cities, Gentile cities, and he says, listen, we need to take up an offering for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in Jerusalem. So he's asking them to give. And as he asks them to give, he gives us the heart, the attitude, and the approach to giving for New Testament Christian giving. And this is what he said, starting in verse 6. He says this, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. In essence, Paul just kind of states a fact about life that we all already know, right? I mean, we already know this. We know that what you put in, you'll get out. If you don't study for the test, you're probably not doing that good in the test. If you don't put any effort into the relationship, your relationship probably isn't going to be all that good. If you don't put anything in, you're not going to get anything out. But Paul takes this even a little bit further. He's talking about sowing and reaping, which is a farming concept. See, no farmer that I know simply hopes that what they put in, they're going to get out, right? I mean, if that's your kind of business plan as a farmer, like the seed I put in, I hope I just get that out at the end of the year. You fail, right? I mean, you will not make it as a farmer. The farmer doesn't just want to get out what they put in. They want to put in and then get out way more. They want to see it as an investment. I'm putting this in and I'm getting out way more than I put in. And that's what Paul's talking about. And he relates it to giving. That what you sow when you give, so you will reap. But there is a growth that happens, an investment principle that happens, that what you give, you'll actually get out more than what you gave. The idea is this. Paul is saying, give generously. Give generously. Let your giving be so generously. So generously. That's the point. Give generously. Don't be stingy in your giving. Don't give like a Mennonite. You can do better than that, right? Give better than a Mennonite. Some of you are like, how does Mennonite money work? Well, here's the best way I know how to describe Mennonite money. I can say that because I'm a Mennonite, okay? So don't give like Pastor Elvin. You can do better than him. So here's how Mennonite money kind of works. Have you heard of the new Mennonite tire that just came out? Just invented, just came on the market. Not only does it stop on a dime, it picks it up too. True story. That's how Mennonite money works, right? It's like, I've got to get what I can and keep what I got, right? So don't give like a Mennonite is what Paul's saying, okay? Sorry to offend some Mennonites. But give generously. Give generously. Give way beyond being stingy. But give generously. Be generous in your giving. And how you sow, so you will reap. And this concept was taken, I mean, all the Jewish readers of this letter would have instantly thought of the Old Testament teaching, which was very, very similar. Proverbs. Proverbs says this, says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The idea is when you give, it kicks back. It often kicks back. And then he goes on, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Those who sow generously will also reap generously. Now, I have to say about these proverbs and about what Paul wrote, these are proverbs, not promises, okay? So here's the deal. You probably know some people who were wealthy, 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 and stingy, stingy, stingy. And you're like, wait, that's not what Proverbs says. Or you might know some people that are poor as can be, and yet they were as generous as can be, and they never got wealthy financially. So is Paul saying, just give, and then you'll get richer and more wealthy? No, that's taking this passage way beyond what Paul was referring to. In fact, many pastors and some churches have taken this to mean, hey, if you just give, 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 then God will make you rich, 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 which is a lot of what a lot of pastors are doing out there saying, hey, if you just give to our church and just give to me and make me rich, God will make you rich. So make me rich so you can be rich, right? I mean, that's in essence what they're saying. That's not what Paul's talking about when he says so generously, so you will reap generously. See, in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to see this in a little bit, in the context, the reaping is not always financial wealth, but the reaping in this context is actually spiritual wealth. And if you want to know more about that, listen to last week's message and the week prior to that, its message. Jesus often talked about using earthly, worldly wealth to build eternal treasure, to build eternal reward. And Paul in this passage says, as you build into people, it often kicks back as spiritual reward, spiritual wealth in that sense. So the point is this, give generously, be generous in your giving. This is the heart of New Testament giving. Give generously. Well, Paul goes on and says, here's how you should give. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Each one of you should give what you decided means there was a decision made prior to giving. meaning you planned it out. You thought about it before you actually gave. Paul's point is this: give intentionally, give generously. But now he says, give intentionally, decide in your heart, think about it ahead of time, decide and be intentional with your giving. See, here's what I already know about you, because you're kind of like me and I'm kind of like you, and this is just kind of how we people function and how we live, that if you are not, and if I am not intentional with my giving, if you're not intentional with your giving, you're probably never going to give. It's just the way it works. If you're not intentional with your giving, you will probably never give, or it will be very, very rare. And here's why. Because the time it finally hits you, like, oh, maybe I should give, you'll have forgotten your wallet. You'll be like, oh, I guess I can't. I didn't decide ahead of time. I didn't think about it. It wasn't something intentional. Or the other thing you'll think is, I have no money. I have no money. Because here's what happens. We all revert to, on the three areas, the three categories, live, save, give. We all revert to that order. We're going to, when we get money, if we're not intentional, we'll just live on what we got. And all of a sudden we'll be like, oh, shoot, I didn't put any into savings and I have nothing to give. Or by chance, I have some for savings, but I don't have anything to give. We revert to live, save, give. And give will always be the one that we forget. If we are not intentional, we will forget to give altogether. It will be something that just never happens. This is why Proverbs 3 says this: honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Meaning, whenever you get something given to you by God, your income, the very first thing, be intentional to, from the start, from the top, give away first. Give first. Be intentional. That means you have a plan. Even before the money comes in, I already have a plan that I'm going to give some of it away. So give intentionally. Give intentionally. And some of you are thinking, well, I can't give that way because I just don't have enough money. I just don't have enough money. Well, if you feel like you don't have enough money to give, come back next week and the week after, because we're going to talk about saving and living. And if you can figure that out, you can make a plan to be giving on the front end before you even save and before you live. And here's the deal. Even for those of us in North America that say, I don't have enough money to give, I actually believe, and you might think I'm crazy, but I think that 99, maybe 99.5 or 6, I haven't quite calculated it out, but most of us, our giving problem isn't because we don't have enough money. It's simply because we were not intentional. It just never was a plan of ours. And here's some statistics. This is from nonprofitsource.com. But here's some statistics. In 2018, so before the pandemic, before the economy crashed, you know, in 2018, according to some statistics, Christians gave about 2.5% of their income to churches. In the Great Depression, during the Great Depression, Christians gave about 3.3% of their income to church. So here's the deal. Our giving isn't a problem of not having enough. I think our giving is a problem of not being intentional. Being intentional on the front end to be intentional. So give intentionally. Be intentional in your giving. And I don't think it's a money problem, that we don't have enough money. In fact, the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 speaks to this as well. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul talks to the Corinthians. He says, listen, I want to brag on the Macedonian churches. He says, listen, the Macedonian churches, they've been giving not out of their wealth. They've been giving out of their poverty. These are churches that are experiencing great poverty, and yet they're still giving. He says, in fact, they're giving more than they're able to give. How is that even possible? Well, they were intentional. They had a plan, and they gave based on that plan. See, here's the thing about Christian giving. I'll just, on the intentional part. Here's the thing about Christian giving. Christian giving is actually as much about you and your faith journey as it is about the organization or the person or the church or wherever it is that you give. It's as much about you. And here's what I mean by that. Because giving is actually a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual discipline. And disciplines are something that we have to be intentional about. It's a plan. And here's how it's a spiritual discipline. A spiritual discipline is anything that you do that helps you form faith, that helps form faith in you. Anything that you do that helps to form faith in you. So here's some spiritual disciplines. Reading your Bible. It's something that you do that helps to form faith in you. Another spiritual discipline is praying. It's something you do that helps form faith in you. Coming to church, meeting with the body of believers, fellowship, worshiping God in song. It's a spiritual discipline. It's something you do that helps to form faith in you. And the same is true of giving. When we give intentionally, when we give up front before we ever lived or saved, we give up front. It's something we do by faith that helps to form faith in us. Because here's what it does. When I give long before I ever lived or saved, I'm saying, God, at the front end of what I've been given, I'm giving you some stuff, and I'm going to trust you on the other two. I'm going to trust you on the living, and I'm going to trust you for my savings. I'm going to give up front, and I'm going to trust you on these. See, when we reverse the order and we live first and save and give first, we're saying, God, I don't trust you, so I'm going to live on what I can and make sure our ends are meeting, and then if I have some money, I'll save, and I'll give to you at the end. It's not building any faith, but to give intentionally, to give God first, is saying, God, I trust you. It is a spiritual discipline that helps to form faith in us. So give intentionally, give intentionally. Well, Paul goes on, and then he says this. He says, not reluctantly, don't give reluctantly, or under compulsion, like, I should probably give, shouldn't I? Pastor preached a message, I should probably give, Don't give reluctantly or under compulsion, for, here's why, God loves a cheerful giver. The Christian attitude to giving is this. Yes, this is going to be fun. We're going to take an offering, and this is going to be the best part of my week. I get to give. There's someone poor out there, and I get to help them. I get to give. For God loves a cheerful giver. This is the point. Paul's saying, give cheerfully. Give generously, give intentionally, and give cheerfully. This is the attitude, and it goes right back to the very beginning of the tithe. See, Abraham, who got help from God to win a battle, did not, after he was given this generous gift from God of help, say, I wonder if I should just like give something to God. I mean, he gave me all this. Maybe I should, he helped me. I should just give something. No, it was like, wow, God, you were so generous to me. This is my gift as a return. This is my gratitude. This is joy. This is cheerfulness. This is exciting to give. Jacob, God gave him a promise. Jacob wasn't like, maybe I should I give? I don't know. He promised me like a lot. No, it was like, God, I'll give you 10%. I mean, I want to be, it's a response to what God has given. This is the attitude and the heart of Christian giving. So here's the deal. Give religious, or give intentionally, which means this. Give religiously. Let your giving be like clockwork. I give religiously. It's like something I do every time I get money. It's religious. Give religiously. But do not let your giving become religion. It will suck the cheerfulness, the joy out of your giving. Let your giving be religious, like clockwork, but do not let your giving become religion. And here's what I mean by religion. All religion says this: God wants something from me, so I'm going to give God what I think he wants from me, and then in turn, God's going to give me what I want. That's how all religion works. God wants something from me, so I'm going to give him what he wants. I'm going to scratch his back, and so that he will give me what I want. So that he'll give me what. It's all about a payment. I'm going to pay, and then he owes me. He's indebted to me. This is how all religion. If you have religion in your mind and in your heart, you're going to be like, I think God wants me to read my Bible, so I'm going to read my Bible. But God, you better give me over here what I want. I think God wants me to pray, so I'm just going to pray because God kind of wants me to do that. But God, if I'm praying, you better give me what I want over here. I think God wants me to treat my wife nice or be good to my neighbor, so I'm going to do that. But God, you better, right? God wants me to give, so I'll give. But God, don't let my business die. But here's the deal. When you live in religion, you get mad at God all the time because you've just set yourself up to get mad at God because you said, God, you owe me, and when God doesn't come through and you've been tithing and you've been generous and you've been loving your wife and you've been reading your Bible and you've been praying and then your business still falls apart or your marriage still falls apart or your child doesn't follow God or whatever it is and you said, God, you owe me, you'll always be mad at God. It sucks the joy out of everything. And giving was never meant to be a payment. Never meant to be a payment. Like, God, I'm going to give you, so now you owe me. No, the beginning of giving, the beginning of the tithe was always a response to what God had already given us. It's not to get something from God. It's because we've already been given something from God. And that's what makes giving cheerful, because it's just a joy. God has been generous to me. So in response, I can be generous to others. Again, it's the idea I talked about a few weeks ago, that faith is not something that comes into us and then stops and becomes stagnant. But faith comes into us and then flows through us to others. As God has given to us, we become generous to others. Okay, so Paul kind of continues and says, here's the outcome. And God, here's the outcome. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Here's the outcome. God is able to bless you abundantly. And when we hear blessing abundantly, abundant blessing, we all think God is going to make me rich. I've been blessed abundantly. Well, look at the context of what Paul means by abundant blessing. So that in all things at all times, having all that you need, not more than what you need, but having what you need, get this, you will abound in every good work. It is a spiritual blessing, a spiritual kickback. The abundant blessing is spiritual. It's way bigger than just financial blessing. It's so much bigger than that. And then Paul closes off this whole teaching on giving in a very interesting way, I think. This is at the end of the end of this section is verse 15. He says this. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Yeah, Paul, you just spent a whole section talking about how we're supposed to give, and you ended off by talking about what God gave? Yeah, that's right. But we've been talking about what we're supposed to give, but now you end it by saying, look at God's indescribable gift? That's right. And when Paul is talking about God's indescribable gift, he's talking about the gift of grace, the gift of salvation, that we have life, that our sins have been forgiven in the work of Jesus on the cross. And by confessing his name, by believing in him, we can be forgiven. We can have eternal life with God in heaven forever. This is the indescribable gift. And Paul ends his whole section on give. You should be generous in your giving by saying, thank God that he has been so, so generous. See, the point of what Paul is saying, and if you forget everything, you forget, give intentionally, give, what was the other two? Can't remember. Here's what I want you to remember. Here's what I want you to remember. When it comes to Christian giving, this is the concept for all Christian giving. Because God gave, give. Because God gave, give. See, the Christian virtue, the Christian virtue is not tithing. Mm-mm. The Christian virtue and the Christian value is not tithing. Mm-mm. The Christian virtue is generosity. The Christian virtue is not tithing some law, some I got to do this. The Christian virtue is generosity. And generosity flows out of the character of God. Because God gave. Give. Don't let faith stop in you. God has given you so much. Don't let it stop in you. Let it flow through you because God gave. Give. See, here's the deal. If the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do to you, the Christian rule is this. Do unto others as God has done to you in Jesus. The Christian rule is this. Do unto others as God has done to you in the person of Jesus. So because God gave, give. And if you're wondering, well, how did God give? Well, here's what you should do. Because God gave, give like God gave. That's how we should give. Because God gave, give. But here's how you should give. Just give in the exact way that God gave. Let faith flow through you. Let the character of God that's entered you flow through you to others. Be like your heavenly Father. And your heavenly Father is generous. And because he gave, give. So if you're going to give like God gave, how would you give? Well, if you're going to give like God gave, I think first of all, you're going to give generously. Because God gave generously. The gospel message is this, that God did not withhold his son, but he gave up his son to die on the cross for our sin, that Jesus was willing to give up his life for your salvation. That is generous giving. That is sacrificial giving. And if you're going to give like God gave, give generously. If you're going to give like God gave, then give intentionally. See, Galatians chapter 4 says that in the fullness of time, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. When the time had fully come, meaning there was time that had it to happen before God sent his son, meaning God had already planned way in advance that he was going to send his son. He had a plan in place. He was completely intentional in his giving. So if you're going to give like God gave, give intentionally. And thirdly, if you're going to give like God gave, give cheerfully. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this about Jesus, that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It wasn't Jesus didn't go to the cross kind of like, should probably do this, I don't know. No, for the joy set before him, he gave himself up. If we're going to give like God gave, give cheerfully. Someone in the first service actually pointed this out. They said, hey, if you just take the GIC, it's a GIC, which is a guaranteed investment certificate. That's it, cheerfully. Yeah, anyways, I didn't plan that, but it happened. So here's the deal. Because God gave, give like God gave. So what should you do? I'm not going to tell you much about what you should do other than start. And if you're doing it, keep going. And if it's become religion, stop and take time and don't give another dime. Don't give another hour in volunteering. Don't give until you contemplate and wonder and become amazed at the indescribable gift of God. Otherwise, it's just religion and you're waiting for God's payment for you. It's not worth it. It will suck the joy out of your life. So if you're going to give like God gave, then start. Start now. And if you don't know where to start, if you haven't been giving, just pick a number. Maybe it's 1%. I'm just going to start with 1%. Start with 1% and start giving and then put a plan in place to grow that and allow your giving, your generosity to expand and to grow, to, as Paul said, to sow more generously, to sow more generously. I want to say to all of you, the best time to start giving, if you haven't been giving, is right now. If you're young, the best time to start is when you're young. If you make $20 babysitting, think about putting $2 or $3 away to give to someone in need, to give to a church, to give to a Christian organization. The best time to start is right now. If you're poor, the best time to start is right now because a percentage of poverty is still just a little amount, right? A percentage of a little amount is just a little amount. Start giving a little bit. If you're rich, the best time to start is right now. A percentage of a lot is a lot, and you're gonna be like, man, that's a lot. The best time to start now. Tomorrow, it's going to be harder, and the day after that, it's going to be even harder, and the day after that, it gets even harder. It never gets easier to start giving. The best time to start is right now. To give, just like God has given. To become like your heavenly Father. So don't be like a Mennonite. Give better than Pastor Elvin. You can, and I believe you are, and you will continue to. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for your word that challenges us to be generous, generous beyond what maybe we would naturally be. Because the reality is we are naturally selfish. And so this pushes against our very core. But God, as your gospel comes into our hearts, as your gospel overtakes all of our thinking, and we look at the generosity of our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus. God, may we grow in your generosity. May we become more like our Heavenly Father. And may we enjoy doing it. Not because it's a payment to be made to get something from you, but it's way better than that. It's because you've already been so generous to us. Thank you for this church that challenges me on my generosity with their lives. And God, I pray that each of us would continue to grow and expand in this area. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.